This recording will be for the regular school board meeting of the Emory County School District Board of Education, held on Wednesday, August 15th, 2007, at the district office, starting at 7 p.m.
You ready?
Sure.
Okay, we're ready to begin our meeting. We'd like to welcome you here. We have all five of the board members are present tonight, as well as Superintendent Sitchard and Business Administrator Jared Black. And we will begin tonight by the Pledge of Allegiance. So I'll stand.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, thank you. We will begin tonight with the consent items, the warrants, the minutes, and the financial reports for July. Are there any discussions on any of the items on those consent?
I looked them over and they looked fine to me. I would make a motion that we accept them as we receive them.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. We need to go to the consideration of building rental fees. Are we there?
Yeah. Let me.
Okay.
Yeah, we're there.
Okay.
Let me just begin by indicating that certainly as a board, I would recommend to you that I won't do that because it's not specifically on the agenda, but certainly we want to recognize the tragic events that have been taking place, the accident at the Genwall Channel Canyon Mine. Some of our local people here who are involved with that, there are several of those men who are from here in our county as well as Carbon County. And we certainly want to recognize and extend our best wishes and our hopes for them, not only for those miners, but also for their families. And we have been doing everything that we can to provide for the needs of the families that have been involved. Mr. Davis, the principal at Canyon View Junior High School, is here. When I received the call from the Sheriff's Department and communication from the mining company, contacted Mr. Davis, and immediately he was involved in that, went right to work, came to the school. And what I, before I do though, I think that with all of our, every fiber that we have, we certainly wish the best for those miners who are trapped, and certainly hope and consideration and care for their families. It has impacted all of us in one way or another. Even many of us who have family members who are involved in rescue and other things, members of our communities who are involved in that, and it has hit everyone in some way or another. And I'm really pleased with the way that not only the community of Huntington, but the surrounding communities and the county have responded and have all of the activities that have taken place in support of the miners and in support of the families, and continue even tonight. And again, certainly our wishes and our prayers are with them. I've asked Mr. Davis if he wouldn't bring you up to date on what has transpired there in relation to the school and the use of the school facility. And then I'm going to make a recommendation to the board following that report. Mr. Davis.
Thank you. I've kind of kept some notes as this thing has unfolded, and as Kirk mentioned, it pretty much began for me on Monday. I was first informed that we might be using the facility as a press briefing site, and I prepared it for that. Nothing had happened. I went home about 4 o'clock Monday night, called JJ, let him know that we were shutting things down, and left a note on the front door. If anybody needed anything, give me a call. And then I got the call from the Sheriff's Department a little bit before 8. that they wanted to use the facility, that they talked to Kirk, so I came right over and immediately opened up the building. I had only a vision of how things would come together. I didn't have any plan on paper or anything written down, but immediately we started to accommodate the families as they came over. The sheriff's department was there, and things just started to fall into place. It looked like we would obviously be using the gymnasium. The gymnasium became the commons. The commons became the kitchen area. Then extended into the library, and it's pretty much been limited to those areas since a week ago Monday. The gymnasium has been utilized for eating purposes. We have our cafeteria table set up in there. It is a command post for the mine company. They have telephones in there. Initially, we were kind of combining the school telephone system, the school business with the mining business using school telephones, and that didn't work. So within a couple of days, the mine company had contacted Emory Telecom, and they installed two dedicated lines for the operations there. So there was really little conflict after that with phones. We did get a few calls and tried to accommodate. We set up television in the gymnasium. Everyone was glued to the news early. And we had some problems with our cable system. Willie Frisbee came over at my request, worked on it, got it so it was tolerable. Then we had to call him back over a second time. It's the second time he brought over a transmitter that improved quality a great deal, and we've got some things very good. We also have television set up in the commons area. The gym is also where the Red Cross is currently set up to feed the families and the other workers there. And prior to this, to the Red Cross taking over, it was volunteers that had brought in food and set up on tables, kind of buffet style. And the Red Cross is serving meals. They prepare the meals and put the meals in styrofoam boxes, I think, so that they can keep track of how many people are feeding. They're feeding as many, or they're serving as many as 300 meals a day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. That's at its peak. And typically the biggest meal is right after the evening briefing. And a lot of people stay and eat and discuss what's happened. A lot of them like to ask questions of the mine people and Amshaw and others. There are maps set up both in the gym and in the commons where they can record the progress that's being made, where things are taking place, give people a little clearer picture of exactly what's going on in the rescue effort. Also, after the first 2 days, we set up a child care facility in the gym. We took out one of our wrestling mats and rolled it out, and people brought in toys, games, set up a couple of televisions with DVDs for the kids, and there are a lot of kids. I think they've had as many as 20 kids, 15 to 20 kids in that little facility. Volunteers, young ladies from different organizations have come over to help with those children. It's worked out very well. Also, in the commons where the briefings are being held, a morning briefing, typically 8:30, and then an evening briefing, typically 5:30. There have been a few days where they've called meetings at other times during the day if there is news, if there's something that they think that families need to know about. I believe the families are always briefed before any kind of press conference. I think Mr. Murray has been to just about every one of those briefings, along with the M. Shaw, the person in charge of the M. Shaw, I can't remember his name, but after the first day, there were some problems with translation. There was no translation being provided in these briefings, and approximately half of those people coming are Hispanic and only speak Spanish. So after that first day or so, interpreters were provided. I don't remember seeing any fewer than three interpreters in those briefings. And they're there not only to interpret verbatim as it's presented in English, but also to be with the Hispanics as they want to ask questions or pursue further information. Our facility has been able to provide an infrastructure that the technology, LCDs, laptops, projections, screens, sound equipment, both in the commons, in the gym, and in the library. Over the last few years, we've been able to create a state-of-the-art audio-visual system in our school, and it's really paid benefits through all of this. The library has been used for more intimate sessions, counseling sessions. The Red Cross has set up a command post in the library. The library, of course, has the audio-visual, but also telephone, television, and we have a computer lab in there that is linked to the internet. There have been prayer meetings in the library, and the early morning staffing before the debriefing for the families takes place in the library, kind of where everyone gets together and plans out the day, just what's going to take place today, and they list who the counselors are and what time the debriefings will be held, the number of meals to be prepared, etc. It's all written down and posted on the gym door as an agenda for the day. The office has been used in a limited capacity. It's where the only fax machine in the school is located, so that's been heavily used. My office has been used upon request for maybe a sensitive phone call or a meeting with someone who needs that level of privacy. And Roman's computer has been used a little bit as well. The building has kind of expanded into an overnight facility as well. We've had quite a few people sleeping there. At least one family has spent every night there. First aid provided cots. Red Cross. Red Cross people provided cots, and the Red Cross people actually slept on cots for the first week until they could find a motel room over in Price finally. But we set up cots in the band room, up in Mr. Meekum's classroom, which is right, it's close to the classroom to the office. And cots are set up in the lower hallway down towards the art room. It's between the two fire doors, the two sets of double doors, so that that area can be closed off. And there's some level of peace and quiet in there. That was set up for any of the workers who might come down and need to get a quick break and get a little bit of sleep. Plus, it's in close proximity to the locker room where you can get a shower and clean up a little bit. We've also had cots in the gym. Along with people who have brought in air mattresses. We had furniture brought in that just was as things were organized. I don't even know who really made the call here, but the call went out for complaint here, and Earl Barton brought over a load, and Hardhat brought over a load, and those things were set up in the common, in the gym. They've kind of been moved around. I think the intention is to create a homey atmosphere, a little bit more comfortable atmosphere for the family. That it served that purpose too. I've seen families gathered together in those areas. It's very comfortable for them just to relax or to maybe talk about things in private. You know, some of those couches, the benches for people to sleep on as well. We've had some people sleeping right on the common steps. That part of it has kind of dropped off a little bit the last couple of nights. I haven't seen as many people sleeping there overnight. But it's available to them if they want to. I haven't had any issues with that at all. In fact, at this point, I would inject that I haven't had any issues with anybody who has been working at the high school in the capacity as a mine rescue team or support people, certainly not the family. Everyone's just been very respectful of our facilities and just kind. It's been a pleasure to support those people and accommodate them. That's basically been my role. It's just whatever you need, I'll try and get. And we've been able to provide some things for them. I've sat in on all the briefings, and I'm just kind of the technician that runs the sound and makes sure they have the resources that they need, and so that they can get that information in the best way in front of the family. It's been a fair priority from the beginning. Our number one priority, of course, is to rescue those miners, but next is to take care of those families. And my priority has been to take care of those families, and I think we've done a pretty good job of that. The kitchen area has pretty much been consumed by these activities. Even before the events that take place recently, we were experiencing problems with our refrigeration and freezing systems there. They've been stressed. District maintenance has worked on those things to keep them as cool as possible. They installed a new motor on the refrigerator. I believe the activity going in and out of those appliances has really stressed them quite a bit. Never gotten to be critical where food has been damaged and had to be destroyed or anything, but it has been stressed, I would say that. With all of the donated food that has come in, pretty much the entire kitchen area is stocked with those kinds of things. And I talked to Jolene, our food manager, and told her what was going on. It's like all of the people associated with Candy is, you know, she's more than willing to turn her kitchen over or whatever needs and sort it out later. Always has been, always MacArthur, one of our custodians, has been amazing. She has a lot of family that work up there in the Crandall mine. In fact, when she heard news that there had been a cave-in up there or a problem up there, she was just beside herself because she had two boys up there in her family that were involved in that crew. But thankfully, her family was safe, but she dedicated herself to serving the families in our school. Richard Rowley, our other custodian, has also done a lot of things beyond his normal routine, and those things are greatly appreciated. Roman Brotherson, our secretary, also has been there a lot, and just like she does when school's in session, does a lot of troubleshooting and helping people. Again, they've been very appreciative of those things. I can tell you that I've never been prouder to be an employee of the Emory School District than I am right now after all of this. It's just so rewarding to help people. And, you know, we haven't been able to do everything that we would like, but I think we've done everything that we can. And I'm just really proud of our school and your support, superintendent's support. It's been great. The meeting this morning, leads me to believe that the transition from the junior high school will begin as early as Friday, and that no later than Sunday they will be out. And I've heard things about where they're moving, but none of that's official, so I probably shouldn't say anything about that. But the mine company will provide some custodial assistance for us to get things cleaned up. Really, there's not a lot to clean up. As I said, the people have been very respectful of the facility there, and certainly not abusing it in any way. You know, you've got people sleeping around in your school and kids running around. You know, that's something that we can take care of. That's no problem at all. We will be ready for the start of school. We will meet all of our deadlines as far as reports and plans and everything. I'm excited to get school started, and I think one of the things that we all agree on, as I set through these staff meetings, is that the people directly involved in this need a new focus. They need a shift in focus. And the start of school could very well be that shift that we all need, and kind of get away from waiting and the guessing and the speculating and all of those things that could drain you emotionally. I've made a lot of great friends up there. There are people from all over the place. I don't even begin to know where to tell you they come from. You walk through the parking lot, your license plates from California and Idaho, Nebraska, New Mexico, Nevada, Arizona, and all over the place. The families come in. A lot of people from back in Washington, D.C., and they're all just very nice people. I've made some good friends over the last few days. Be happy to answer any questions. And I do have a summary of this.
Well, I think we can all say how much we appreciate you and your staff.
Yeah.
That's quite a thing to take on, but
absolutely.
You know, our communities come together during these crises, and I think we're all wondering what we can do to help these families. How can we help? How can we help? And I think this is one gesture that we can do as a school district, and appreciate you being our ambassador out there to make people feel welcome here. That's a great thing to do. I can't think of a better staff to have that happen. They're all that way.
I want to echo that, and my appreciation to Mr. Davis and his custodial staff, particularly the secretary and others who have been involved in this. I might also indicate that we have received calls from a number of other school districts, especially our surrounding school districts, who have offered any support that they can give. I received a call from the state superintendent of public instruction, offering any assistance that they might could give with regard to state policies that could be waived, offering any assistance in what they provide as far as the beginning of school, any policies there that might need to be waived, also offering any crisis management assistance that the State Board of Education might offer. So we've had a number of calls offering support. Fortunately, we've been able not needed any additional support, but certainly to know that are those who are concerned about us around the state and the nation. And what our communities are going through and what our people are going through is comforting. And as we looked at the agreement that we have, you know, that we entered into with the mining company, it's our belief that all of the assistance that's been provided by the school district is humanitarian in nature, that there certainly is no benefit to the mining company directly, that the benefits have been specific to the families that are involved and meeting their needs and providing for them. I am recommending to the board tonight that any and all rental fees associated with the use of the facility be waived. We recognize there are some costs associated with some supplies and materials that we internally will deal with Mr. Davis in helping to provide for our students. I am recommending that the board waive any and all rental fees associated with the use of the building because it's our belief that our assistance has been completely humanitarian in nature.
We need a motion on that. I would so move.
I'd second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Thank you.
Thank you for that, and thank you for the sheet that you prepared. That will help us to remember what's been done and pass on our thanks to your staff.
You know, I had one other question.
Yeah.
Are you going to need additional help in the kitchen and to get it ready to serve meals and so on?
I think we'll be fine. We'll start there if we have the rules. And I think we're going to move all of the food out, everything out of the fridge. I think they got that to that location.
Okay.
I'm a little concerned about maybe some of the utensils and things that they've kind of gone out. I didn't restrict those things, nor did I keep records of who was taking what spoon or anything.
Mm-hmm.
I think things will settle down and things will get back where they need to be, and if they don't, I think we can replace those things.
Yeah, we can make sure that's done.
But if there needs to be, that was the one area that I wondered if you really need to hire some temporary help to get that.
What we're discussing right now is, and this is with Olive, as you know, she has two daughters that are also custodians. And basically, one of them is at Huntington Elementary and one is at Cottonwood. And in their conversation, they have indicated that they are pretty much ready for the start of school and that they can come over and help us. So we have, if that works out, and I'll have to talk with the principals and, you know, with your permission, that would give us four custodians, plus we're anticipating at least two from the mine company to come down. Plus, I'm sure that we'll get some help from our faculty. I'll be there, and others will come in. And we can get that building ready up there.
Well, I hope it does provide that shift in focus and help people get through this. Okay, any other comments or on that? Thanks again.
You're
just want to pass that on. We will go on with our agenda then. We need to go into the asbestos containing materials, our annual notification to the public.
We're required to do an annual notification to the public for our asbestos plans that are in each of our schools and buildings. And Leroy and Irene have arranged to have this published in the newspaper that came out yesterday, I believe. And I just need to read this so that it can be in the minutes of our meeting. We're just required to do that by law. So, as required by AHERA, AHERA, Section 763.85, paragraph 2 and B, we as a school district are required to ensure that workers and building occupants or legal guardians are informed at least once each school year about our re-inspections, response actions, and surveillance activities of all ACM or assumed ACM located in your school or building. This information is recorded in the management plan in your school or building. Also, a copy is available for your review at the district office and at the maintenance shop. The public is welcome to review these plans. Respectfully, Leroy Maxfield. So we don't need a motion or anything on this. It just needs to be
in the minute.
Read in public. So. Also, let me report that the...
If you're going to make this part of that, those minutes, then you need to change the business administrative minutes and the date.
Oh, okay. Leroy just sent this to you.
This is a lot of good notice.
Okay. Wanted to report also just on the asbestos abatement that we did this summer. At Green River High School in Bookcliff Elementary, that is completed. And all the tile and carpet that we needed to replace that had been put in, so both projects are finished.
Oh, good. That is good school. Great, thank you, Jared. Appreciate that.
Yep.
I think we now need to have a motion to adjourn to a public hearing to receive input on the proposed budget for fiscal year 2008 and the adoption of tax rates for tax year 2007.
I'll make a motion that we go to a public hearing for the tax rate.
I'll second that.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Okay, Jared, we'll split.
Now this will be a little redundant. It's essentially the same presentation as before back in June. It's just the few updates that we have, so I'll go through it quickly. But just to kind of explain the process, we do approve our budget in June, but anytime we have a tax rate increase, we have to do truth in taxation, which requires this hearing that we're at tonight. So. Just to review the assumption for our tentative budget, which is what we passed back in June, our assessed valuation was $1,526,000,000, estimates as of May 31st, and estimated fall enrollment is 2386. Now the basis of today's budget, and these are our new updated numbers, is our assessed valuation of $1,587,000,000. Of which $42 million is new growth, and we've included all of our legislative estimates that we received up to July 31st in the same fall enrollment. The second line there, the tentative budget in June was just under $24 million, and with these changes that I'm proposing today, we would be just above $24 million, so about $150,000 higher. And all that increase in revenue is due to the approved tax rates that we have now. These are our revenue sources. Seem very similar to what we saw in June. And don't know if there's any questions on those, but it's pretty simple. Okay, I wanted to show you also what our tax rates will be for this year. And it's good each year to try to get your tax rate to go down, which is what we've been able to do this year. And I think that's a trend that the district has been on for several years now. But as you can see in 06, 07, we had a state basic levy of 15.15, and that has been reduced this year to 13.11. And that rate is actually set through the State Office of Education. We don't have a whole lot to do with it. That's just
This is the tax rate that we have tried year after year to get legislation that would freeze that tax rate at a certain level, so that as your assessed value increases or other things happen, that it would generate additional funds for education.
Mm-hmm.
This is a float down,
mm-hmm.
so that as your assessed value goes up, the tax rate floats down so that you don't generate any more money. The money stays cheap. This is it's when you hear about that float down and that legislation, that's what we're talking about. Sorry, Kevin.
Okay. Also, the Emory School District tax rate, that's all of our tax rates that we set combined, and I'll show you these on the next page here. As you can see, every single one of them has either stayed the same.
Can you see past that chair?
Yeah. It stayed the same or gone down. For the 07-08 year,
with the exception of the judgment levy, this is the truth in taxation portion that we have this hearing for tonight. And the rate for that is 0.00017, which will generate about $26,500 to pay off the judgment
levy. Don't forget you have that there at the same time.
But as you can see, even with that judgment levy, the rate is still significantly lower than it was for 0607. These are our anticipated expenditures with these revised revenues. These are almost identical to what I showed in June. And as well, the expenditures by fund are almost identical. As a summary, this proposed budget does include step and wing changes, our insurance increases of 10%, utility cost increases, the legislative funding program, cost of living adjustment for the negotiations that we did, and then the new fund, 21 student activities fund, which we discussed back in June. But I'd be happy to answer any questions that you might have about these. That's the end of the presentation.
I might just interject here as part of this that the just received an email that the governor is under pressure from the legislature to call a special session of the legislature within the next week to 10 days or 2 weeks in order to consider capital outlay equalization plan that has been developed by Howard Stevenson and some other legislators. Not only a statewide equalization, but a Salt Lake County equalization because of the school district divisions that they're considering there. And you need to recognize that any equalization in capital outlay is not going to be carbon assets. So just be aware of that, that that's coming, that there is proposed legislation and they're trying to get a special session deal, but now because they want to have an election, a vote on a, on the school district division this fall in Jordan Zona School District. But it will impact us statewide. And it will mean, in essence, that they will take money from school districts that are in declining enrollment and give to school districts who are growing. And we still have certainly the basic needs of buildings, and I would guess over the next 10 to 20 years of reconstructing many of our facilities. This is a huge concern, I think, to us. So, just be aware.
Well, we have time, we'll probably be able to meet with Governor Huntsman before then, right?
I think that special session will probably be over by then.
Do you think
it will be that soon?
Yes, I'm thinking it will be next week. About the first day of school with the rumors I'm hearing, the 27th. I did send an email to his deputy for education about a half hour before board meeting expressing my concern about the fact that they are pushing forward extremely fast on something that has not been debated or something that has no one has had really an opportunity to see what the impacts are and that they need to slow down on it, and also the fact that what I just told you, mm-hmm. that small rural school districts with declining enrollment with the highest best value are going to be sending, it doesn't make sense for a school in declining enrollment that's losing funding on one side to then take the money from the other side and send it to districts that have a probably, well, their best value may not be as high, they certainly have wealth in other areas, and growing student populations who generate funding. And it isn't going to make a significant difference to them, at least not equalize the hurt that we'll feel.
Mm-hmm.
And talking with the superintendent of Jordan, the equalization plan that Howard Stevenson had proposed a month ago, he said he would get $18 million out of it, but his building needs are $800 million. And so you can see that it doesn't even come close to really meeting their needs, and yet it would have really a serious effect on districts like Emory. Of course, there are about four or five districts in the state who we're not assessing the maximum assessment that we could for capital outlay at 100% of what we could assess.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're coming after us for that one, that reason also. There was some talk that they would make up the funding loss to the income tax, but you'll also know the income tax is certainly a less stable tax than property taxes. it goes on a roller coaster ride. So you're going to probably see that in the newspaper over the next little while, and there probably will be a special session. And I really don't know if I'll comment on whether or not the governor will actually be here on the 29th or not.
Okay.
I think he's planning on it, but with all that's been going on, and his calendar in a special session, I would not be surprised if he canceled that. But we still are planning on that meeting.
Okay.
So is there an avenue through which we can get our feedback?
Yes. I don't have the address right now, but the governor's office, and certainly his deputy of education, Christine Curl, and I think it's.
Could you email it?
Yeah, that would be great. Just to email him and.
Governor's email address, but anyway. C Curl at.
Utah.gov.
@utah.gov.
Okay, are there any comments or questions or?
Are you ready for a motion that we close the tax?
We can go into a general meeting.
Someone.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Now we need a motion to approve the budget for fiscal year 2008 and to adopt the tax rates for the tax year 2007.
You could also indicate in that motion to actually adopt this resolution in the packet, because that's what we actually
okay.
need to send in.
Thank
to
you.
Include that wording.
Okay. With that, Jane? Is there a motion?
I will call move.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thanks, Jared, for your work in that and bringing that, made it clear for us, and appreciate that and your staff. Okay, we have some personnel actions and moves for approval.
On my report, this is kind of difficult because with the change in board agendas, we're listing all of the action items on the agenda itself, and then they're also part of my report because I present them. So I write them down so I don't forget them, and they appear on the agenda also. So
would you rather do it then?
No, I'll go out and do it now. It's not
okay.
Isolated on the agenda. That's fine the way we're doing it, just so you know we're bouncing it back and forth. I have some names that need to be approved at this time since our last board meeting. Jana K. Wall as a special education teacher. Right now, we assigned to Huntington Elementary. You have to realize when we approve teachers, they don't always stay at the school I indicate on, because sometimes they all will move from year to year. No, she's been teaching in Carbon County School District. And she is excellent. This is really good. She's formerly from Orangeville, grew up and went through our school system. That was Curtis, Jan and Pam and Curtis's daughter.
Live in Cleveland now.
Janet Tuttle, teacher at Huntington Elementary School. Janet's husband is the eye doctor in Castledale.
He's
a violin player. Shauna Carroll, teacher at Fairmont Elementary. We just approved her as an aide over there, and now we're presenting her as a teacher at Fairmont Elementary. I believe the next year will be third grade. And then I also attached here, JJ gave me a list of the names of coaches that have been presented to him by the principal. If you see those in yellow, those are new coaches this year. The others are the same coaches that we've had in the past. We still have some areas that are not filled, but we're still working out, I think, particularly baseball for the spring at Emory High. We did, as we moved Coach Jones to the assistant principal job, we indicated to him that we would prefer that he not coach more than one sport with that assignment, and so he's coaching football, but baseball will be looking for another coach.
Do we have another copy of those?
I attached
Do I have yours?
Report. No, that's okay. Second page. Okay.
Can you tell me who this Bo Stoker is?
Well, as a gentleman, you probably know more from the announcing of football and basketball that helps
Chris Justice.
Yeah, Chris Justice to be announcing. He's married to Chris Justice's wife, sister.
Thomas.
Melanie. Okay, Thomas. Melanie. Okay. Lives here in, right next to Jared, I think, down in Jared's neighborhood.
2 houses down.
Works at Desert View Credit Union here in Huntington, former baseball player at SUU.
And no assistance there? They don't usually have that?
He has not chosen one.
Oh,
we just interviewed a week and a half ago, and he has not chosen one.
Okay.
So we have a lot of the spring sports. You'll notice our empty. That's just because it's right in the office.
Okay.
So as soon as they are, we'll keep updating you.
Okay.
Mr. Frisbee, I think you'll notice the tennis coach, he's doing that voluntarily. He's not receiving any pay. That's just a few of them.
Okay.
So I recommend the board approve those things.
I'll make a motion that we approve them as you have presented them to us.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, then we need some policy actions and some revisions.
It's just a policy revision of the order of termination policy. As we recall, in our discussions with the Teach Association, we did add to the order of termination policy the definition for insubordination that we discussed with the association. And that definition reads in that policy, willful disobedience by a school district employee of a district or school policy or a reasonable request or directive of a supervisor. And so we've added that definition to our orderly dismissal policy. And so I need the board to approve that revision.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Classification study and job descriptions.
Yes.
Okay. At the last board meeting, you'd asked me to follow up with the transportation supervisor, maintenance supervisor, and audiovisual technician position. And so I was able to contact the district and get as much information as possible about these positions. Let me actually start with the third position. It's the audiovisual technician position. No other districts that I talked to at least have that position. And these are all the districts that are closest to us in enrollment. So this may be something that we just need to discuss and determine where we think it should be based on duties. Just because there is really nothing to compare it to. All the districts send out their copies on maintenance agreements.
Okay.
The transportation supervisor and maintenance supervisor positions, as you'll see, the averages are comparable, if not just slightly lower than what we pay for these positions, which honestly was a little surprising to me. But keeping in mind also that not all of the wages that I surveyed are in those averages, because some of them just negotiate these salaries each year, so there's not like a minimum and maximum that you can have on a range. So I included those wages under the note for you to look at. But that's the data I got. I did include the job description for the audiovisual technician to be approved tonight. If we decide to keep it at the pay rate it's at or to change that. I do not have updated job descriptions for the transportation supervisor and maintenance supervisor, but I will work on those in the next few months.
Okay.
So, are there any questions or do I need to clarify anything?
My only question was the districts that say that they have maintenance agreements. Are they maintenance agreements that are follow-up that are included in the purchase price of the machines, or do they have separate maintenance agreements with their equipment store?
I didn't ask that question, but my impression is that most of them do come with the purchase of the machine, but some of them did not.
Most of my experience has been that most of them come with the purchase of the machine for a specific period of time.
Right.
Under a warranty, and then you can purchase a maintenance agreement beyond that. And we used to do that. When we initially with Off the Equipment Company, when we purchased our copy machines, and I'm going back to my experience as a principal and before that, when we purchased a copy machine, then we had to purchase a maintenance agreement with it. And we found that the maintenance agreement, which at that time was about a third the cost of the copy machine, it was an annual agreement. And it got to be, in my case, we purchased a copy machine, I remember, for about $4,000, and the annual maintenance agreement was about $800 a year. And that was an annual agreement. And obviously, when you look at all those machines, I don't know what those maintenance agreements are now. But we felt at that time, way back, that we would be better off to hire our own person to do at least the labor part of that. Of course, we still have to buy the parts and equipment and keep them running. But.
Well, and I'm not questioning that.
Right.
What my question about it was, is if there is maintenance included in the purchase of those machines, we need to be sure that they are honoring that, rather than having our personnel tied up with doing something that is the responsibility of
point.
The company.
Yeah. That's a really good point.
And we, the contracts that we purchase our machines off of right now are state contract machines within the district, and they do, the price we pay comes with setup fees and all of that. It doesn't come with any maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
So
I
we aren't paying extra
service we weren't utilizing.
Yeah.
Good to clarify things. Okay, who knows? We'll discuss that, or
I think you know, since we're talking about a specific employee in the school district, if there's only one, I think that we need to have some discussion in the executive session concerning that before you look at any action on the job description.
Okay. Before we go to the reports, I'd just like to interject. I went into the delegate assembly, and as you know, Kirk is on that board that. He's the president of the Superintendents Association, and I just want to compliment him. There was a lot of pettiness and a lot of things that were going on there with the discussions, and Kirk really was the voice of reason. I don't know. I think we just are used to that, and we expect it when we come to our meetings, but he, every once in a while, he had to bring the whole discussion back on course. And I was just very impressed by that, and I think we're very fortunate to have him in that position, and I just had a greater appreciation for what he does and his wisdom and the things that his direction and being able to work in those situations where people are bantering back and forth. So anyway,
no, thank you very much. I appreciate that. I pushed the microphone away and told him I wasn't talking to him.
Well, I wanted you to do it more. I felt like they needed it after we'd gone over a half an hour. But anyway.
But
I
did,
and I gave him plenty of practice. Yes.
Oh, well, that's good.
The area started to do that also.
He's trying.
We're working on it quite a bit.
Oh, well, he does well. He's
trying. I've got to tell you, though, that delegate assembly, if you haven't participated, is a rare experience.
Oh, I about lost my
dream. That is torture.
We've all had
some extremely strong opinions among some board members throughout the state, and they're expressed in that meeting.
And they express them, and then they have the motion, and those four vote on them, their own thing. And nobody else in the whole delegate assembly does, but they do. One time there was one person that voted for herself. So, you know, they're kind of wanting to hear themselves a little bit. And anyway, I appreciate that. Anyway, Kurt, go ahead.
Well, I appreciate that. I really do. Let's see, my report.
Right.
And I have, all I have is just some information there, dates of interest that I've shared with you before. I will point out the governor is scheduled to visit our school district on August 29th at 11 o'clock in this office. He did not want a large crowd. He wanted 8 or 10 people, which would be the board and district supervisors, basically. And at that time, we're trying to prepare 6 or 8 highlights that we can share with the governor about our school districts and some of the great accomplishments that our teachers have made and other employees. And then, of course, we have some issues that we would like to discuss with him. I sent that to you, and I've got to find a copy, so maybe I can share with those who are sitting here what some of those issues that we will be discussing. First of all, economic development is a major concern to us with declining enrollments, and certainly if the governor has a way to help us with declining enrollments, or with economic development, which he claims to be the guru of, we would certainly, and I'm sure he'll turn around and say, well, what do you want me to do or suggest, and I don't have any ideas except promote the coal industry. And that's not bidding well for us with what's going on right now. But we want to talk to him about the weighted pupil unit. Now, I'm developing some paragraphs under some of these. Transportation energy costs, certainly the teacher and principal shortage that is in the state right now, capital outlay equalization, health insurance costs, and of course, UPass, no college behind issues. Counseling services. This is something we haven't talked a lot about in our school district, folks, but we get comprehensive guidance gets just a pittance of money from the state, and yet they want us to keep a student counselor ratio, which we try to do, which is similar to what other schools are doing, but there's a real need for additional counselors in this state, not only for secondary but elementary. And the legislature really needs to step up to that. And if we can get the governor's support to do that, that's something that I know rural schools are pushing really hard. The need for ongoing technology support. We get one-time monies every year, which is great. It needs to be something ongoing. And then, of course, our state block grants that we have and our service centers are what's called below the line. They do not get a WPU increase each year. And yet, and they're really not keeping pace with increased costs and needs, and a lot of those are tied to salaries. And so you don't get the salary increases for those positions. So we're really making a push to try to get those moved into the WPU. We want to talk to him about our class sizes, particularly in our elementary schools and what we tried to do there, the reading and math initiatives, adequate yearly progress. We may take that off the list depending on what it showed today. Today was the day we get our AYP reports to the district, and then we have about 30 days to review them and make any appeals that we want to make, and then they'll be made public. But you have to remember that the bar was raised this year anyway, anywhere from 4 to 6%.
Yeah.
And so it's going to, every 2 years the bar is raised that you have to reach to make adequate yearly progress. Until we get to that heavenly number of 100 in the year 2012-13, which is only 4 or 5 years away. And so you know, you can see what's going to happen now between now and then. So hopefully I'll be able to share more information with you. Depending on how that looks, we may or may not discuss it with the governor. I think concurrent enrollment, which is a real positive for us in our school district and what we're able to do there with distance learning. Our building construction program under career and technical education, I think, is a highlight for us. And again, technology and our option all-day kindergarten, even though we're just starting that, we certainly want to let him know that we appreciate his efforts in promoting full-day kindergarten programs and wanting that to expand beyond just one school in our district. So those are some things that we've developed. If you have ideas that you want to, you know, email me or call me, and we'll try to fit them in. I think we're going to have to cut this list down probably in half for a one-hour visit. I think we'll still list them, but we'll only talk about several of them with him if he's able to make it based on what's going on right now in his schedule. He's been here for 10 days. He should have just dropped down this but he's had other things on his mind. So I just wanted to indicate to you that Connie Worthen was notified that she is one of the finalists for State Teacher of the Year.
Okay.
She was our District Teacher of the Year and now is one of the, I don't know if it's five, but one of the finalists. She is having an interview with the State Committee that selects that, I think, tomorrow. That's tomorrow.
Friday.
Tomorrow or Friday. She's going to do it over the Polycom system. They're going to interview her. We're excited about that.
That's
great.
Mm-hmm.
But she is a finalist. And Also attached to your, what I gave you tonight, is the fringe benefits policy that you revised last board meeting. That is the official copy for your policy manual. So that's provided for you. That's all I have right now. We do have a few other executive session items.
Did you find my policy manual on your desk?
Yes, I did.
Good.
I have mine sitting out. I'll get it, yeah. Okay, Jared, we'll turn the time to you.
Hey, the only other thing I wanted to report on is just to let you know that basically all of our major capital outlay projects for the summer have been completed. I talked to you about the asbestos and all of the carpeting and tiling that we've done in any of the schools is finished. The heating upgrades that we did, San Rafael and Canyonview, are finished. We did the two parking lots at Green River High School, the one just behind the new gym, and then the second one for the bus compound.
And you mentioned the open house at the new gym. I was going to do it, so why you don't even mention that?
Open house for the new gym. If I still have the right date, it's the same day as the governor will be here. That night from 7 until 9 or whenever.
It's a walk to open house with refreshments. Same night as ever back to school, and I think so. We've been down and looked at it. It's great.
Outstanding facility.
Oh, well. We'd like to have you there to mingle if people are there. If you can't make it, please make an effort to go down and look at it before.
And if you have to come for part of it, you've got to come.
Absolutely. You don't have to stay the whole 2 hours.
Okay.
Just come.
Well, come. That'll be fun.
It's a great facility. It really is. And I personally think that things that we did to downgrade it to save money, actually, I think improved it.
It looks outstanding, yeah. The bigger block.
I like the bigger block in the gym floor. And
the gym floor is the lowest quality.
Oh, really?
They have all the grain in it. They call it short. I love them.
They do look nice.
Are you gym short?
We'll have a little one of
5 hours. Yeah, and I played basketball in it. We did a little shoot around. And
oh.
He shouldn't have with his shoulder hands, but he did.
I'm just a little of the basketball.
Thought about that. He mentioned
it. Yeah. It doesn't work yet.
Yeah, they figured it out.
Did they go through?
Yeah, it has two nylon pins in it you have to pull out.
Oh.
And then it just comes right down.
Oh, great.
How do you feel about the parking lots and the bus compound?
It looks great. Like I said, the school finally looks finished. After 25 years, it looks finished. Because the back has always been kind of beat up, and now it looks great.
Good to see it. That's it. Okay, are there any other things that we haven't? Okay. Well, are there items that we need to go into executive session?
Yes, we do have a couple.
Okay.
I move that we go into a closed meeting for personnel purposes.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you for coming.
I'm going to have Larry stay for just part of that.
Okay.
I don't think that. Make a motion to adjourn.
Let me read between tonight and the minutes.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Okay, you had on there institute next Monday.
Oh, why? Yeah, we need someone there to welcome people back. About a 1 minute.
I'll nominate Sam.
I plan to go.
Go ahead and do it. That'll be
8:45 is when we'll convene everybody.
I wanted to hear that humorous speaker.
Okay.
When the benefits fair.
Yeah, would that be fun?
From 11 to 3. Mm-hmm. If you want to, bring your families and come up to that. We'll have a good lunch. And then I'll
that'll be down at the city park in Castledale in the museum.
Okay.
Now, what's going to be there?
All of our vendors, like health insurance and dental insurance and life and et cetera. And then some of the life insurance people in the area will be coming to talk about different insurance options, investments, things like that. We've invited Emory Telcom, a few other people. I don't know all of them, but
education savings plan.
Yeah, we did. But they'll all have booths set up with information and little gizmos. If you've ever been to the fair, some people mm-hmm. like to go around and collect all the little mm-hmm. stuff.
Like school board convention.
We've mm-hmm. required that all of them bring a door prize, so we'll have drawings. Out on the lawn area, we're going to have some games for kids.
Oh,
like a little
fishing
pond where they can
get this
little
This isn't the rodeo. Is this the rodeo park or the other one?
No, city park.
City park.
Park.
City
okay.
park that belongs to the church.
Right.
And we'll have a hamburger lunch
okay.
with some salads and
good.
Drinks and things like that.
Oh, cool. That'll be fun.
I think
good.
That'll be nice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We're thinking next year we're actually thinking about moving it. We wish we would have thought of it first, but moving it to the fairgrounds
mm-hmm.
because they have cooking facilities there
yeah.
already.
Mm-hmm.
They have the little park area and the grassy area. They have the
toys.
Pavilion. They have everything we would
mm-hmm.
need there. So we'll probably move that next year, but we'll see how it goes.
Mm-hmm. Sounds fun. Good. That's a positive thing. You know, something that they've asked for too.
Yeah,
boys, didn't they?
Now I'll make my motion.
Okay.
I'll second that.
Okay, thank you.
And
are you
all
want to
all
do
our
favorite?
Yeah, what's your good news?
Our baby is up to 2 pounds, 14 ounces.
Oh,
almost
wow.
3 pounds.
Yeah.
How much was when it was born?
1 pound, 1 gram.
Oh, boy.
Oh,
wow.
Almost 3 pounds then.
Almost 2 pounds, maybe by the end of this week. How about that?
I didn't make
that's
it over that meeting
oh, okay.
Saturday night, but I did see you on TV for a
yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah,
good job. It's one of those things I hope never to repeat.
I'm so
you did really well. I was impressed.
I was too.
You did well, but I hope you never repeat.
No, I
never
ever.
I can't even imagine having
that
to do that. I can't even imagine that.
I'm never coming home from the cabin by 4 o'clock.
No, and answering your messages.
Oh, that was the bell.
Yeah, we got up in the mountain at 4 o'clock, and there were 4 messages. You need to call President Simpson, and I could have had enough brains to turn around and go back. But I guess he talked to Jeff. Jeff called and said, he's called twice looking for you, and I told him you're always down by 4, so you have time to make bread and mow lawns and do laundry.
Is the baby still in the incubator?
No, actually, she's been in isolation, in the incubator, and she's breathing on her
did
own.
You get
she's on a CPAP machine.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
No,
I did. Yeah,
she's
so
tiny
that
she'll
you.
Be breathing
yeah,
on her own.
Oh,
really strong.
Really
strong.
Is that remarkable?
She's going to come and say,
yeah.
What did they mean?
Briny.
L-E-I-N. All that.
Isn't
it? That
is so cool. I'm just so
tickled.
Oh.
We got a big thing to do with the
hospital.
Probably.
I'll mark it off then.
The 1st of October. He was due September 5th, and they usually are out by their due date, but the ampulla, her water broke at 16 weeks, and she didn't have any amniotic fluid, so she was actually developmentally
mm-hmm.
not 26 weeks when she was born.
We've had a baby like that too. And it's a miracle. Jeff's baby was that way.
Yeah. And he's a miracle.
Yeah, he's a miracle. So.
And how old is he?
He's 16 months. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. But he was like that. So miracles happen.
Yes,
they do.
So
are you having a dream never?
I'm not sure what I said. I'm not sure what I said. I don't think I have, but
yeah, I don't remember what I said.
I'll just let it back up a little bit. Please don't witness.